Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Happy Friday, everyone.
It is Friday, April 24th, 2026, and we have got a genuinely packed show for you this morning. We're talking about one of the biggest international expansion moves Anthropic has made to date, a developer tools update that is quietly changing how engineers think about automation, and a whole lot of broader industry context from the week's news cycle.
Yeah, and I want to say up front, the lead story today is one of those deals that when you actually stop and think about the scale of it, it kind of sneaks up on you. Like at first glance, you read the headline and you think, okay, partnerships, sure. Companies do partnerships all the time. And then you read the numbers and you go, wait, hold on.
30,000 employees.
30,000. Yeah. That's not a pilot program. That's not a proof of concept. That is a full organizational rollout.
We're going to get into all of that in just a second. But first, Sam, how are we doing this morning? Because I feel like this week has been relentless.
Honestly, relentless is the right word. Every time I think the pace of news in this space is going to slow down, even a little bit, something lands and resets the bar. But I'm energized. Good coffee, big stories. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's start with the big one. So, Anthropic and NEC Corporation. For anyone who isn't immediately familiar with NEC, this is one of Japan's most storied technology companies. We're talking about a company that has been a pillar of Japanese enterprise technology for decades. Telecommunications infrastructure, IT services, public sector systems, NEC is deeply embedded in the fabric of how Japan runs its digital economy. And as of this week, they are now Anthropic's first Japan-based global partner.
First Japan-based global partner. And I want to break that down because each of those words is doing a lot of work in that sentence. First means this is a trailblazer relationship. Anthropic hasn't done this before in Japan. Japan-based is significant because Japan is not a small market. It's the third largest economy in the world. And global partner, that's not just a regional license agreement. That implies a scope that goes beyond just Japan.
Right. And the announcement came out of what appears to be a coordinated release on April 23rd and 24th. So essentially yesterday and today for our listeners. And the core of the deal is that NEC will be deploying Claude across its organization. We're talking about approximately 30,000 employees worldwide who will have access to Claude as part of this arrangement.
Okay, so here's where I want to push on this a little bit. Because 30,000 employees is a big number, but I think what matters is how you're deploying it, right? Because you can give 30,000 people access to an AI tool, and 90% of them use it twice and then forget about it. That's not transformation. The language around this partnership is specifically about building an AI-native engineering organization. And that framing is actually really different.
Say more about that.
So when you say AI-native, you're not saying we're adding AI to the way we already work. You're saying the way we work is being rebuilt from the ground up with AI as a core component. And for an engineering organization specifically, that means things like how you write code, how you review it, how you plan projects, how you document systems. All of that gets reimagined with AI in the loop from day one. And NEC is apparently committing to doing that at scale.
Which is a massive internal transformation challenge, by the way. Like, setting aside the technology for a second, the change management required to actually shift the working culture of an engineering organization that large is significant.
Enormous. And this is actually, I think this is why the global partner designation matters so much. Because Anthropic isn't just selling NEC a subscription. They're presumably working with NEC on how to actually execute this transformation. There's presumably a depth of collaboration here that goes well beyond just access to the API.
And the strategic implications for Anthropic's presence in Asia-Pacific are huge. Japan has historically been, and I say this carefully, somewhat deliberate in how it adopts external enterprise technology at scale. There are strong domestic tech ecosystems. There are procurement preferences. There are cultural dynamics around long-term vendor relationships. So having NEC, one of the most trusted names in Japanese enterprise tech, as your first major Japan partner is a very smart door to walk through.
It's almost like, okay, you know how when a foreign restaurant brand wants to expand into a new country, the smartest move is often to partner with a local operator who already has the relationships and the cultural fluency? That's kind of what's happening here. Anthropic gets NEC's credibility and network. NEC gets the most capable AI available. It's genuinely complementary.
And from NEC's side, this makes a lot of sense, too. Japanese companies have been under real pressure to accelerate AI adoption. There's a national policy dimension to this as well, because the Japanese government has been pushing hard for digital transformation across both public and private sectors. So NEC partnering with a frontier AI lab and positioning itself as the builder of Japan's largest AI-native engineering organization is a very strong statement to make to their clients and to the market.
Right, because NEC isn't just transforming internally. They're going to be using this as a showcase. Look what we built internally, and we can help you do the same thing. That's a services play on top of the technology adoption. Very smart business model.
And the 30,000 employee figure, I keep coming back to this, that's also a meaningful signal for Anthropic in terms of proving out enterprise scale. Because one of the things that enterprise customers want to know before they commit is, has anyone else done this at this scale? And now Anthropic can say yes. 30,000 employees at NEC. That's a reference.
That's a flagship reference. That is absolutely a sales asset for every conversation Anthropic has with any large enterprise anywhere in the world going forward. Our partner, NEC, has deployed this to 30,000 people globally. That sentence is going to be in a lot of pitch decks.
No question. All right. So let's talk about what this signals for Anthropic's broader international strategy, because this doesn't happen in isolation.
No, it doesn't. And I think what we're seeing is Anthropic being very intentional about which markets they want to establish deep enterprise roots in and doing it through these high-profile anchor partnerships rather than just, you know, turning on the API and letting anyone sign up. The NEC deal is the kind of relationship that takes months to negotiate. It's a deliberate strategic choice.
And Japan specifically, I mean, look at the enterprise AI landscape there. You have massive conglomerates. You have a government that is actively pushing AI adoption. You have a talent ecosystem that is sophisticated on the engineering side. It's actually a really fertile market for this kind of deployment if you can navigate the cultural and business dynamics correctly.
And NEC is the right guide for that navigation. I mean, if you're Anthropic and you're sitting in San Francisco thinking about how do we actually land meaningfully in Japan, you could spend years trying to build those relationships from scratch, or you can find a partner who already has them. The math is pretty obvious.
All right. I think we've given that story the attention it deserves. Big deal, meaningful strategic move, and we'll definitely be watching to see how the NEC deployment rolls out and whether it starts to produce case studies and proof points that Anthropic can take to other markets.
Yeah, and honestly, watch for other Japan-adjacent announcements. This feels like the first domino, not the last.
Good point. Okay, so speaking of what Anthropic is building out, let's shift from the enterprise partnership story to something on the developer tools side, because there's an update to Claude Code Desktop that I think is worth spending some real time on. So Claude Code Desktop, for anyone who needs a quick refresher, this is Anthropic's dedicated desktop application for developers using Claude as part of their coding workflow. And it has been evolving pretty rapidly. But the feature that landed this week is something called Scheduled Tasks, and it is genuinely interesting.
Okay, before you explain it, can I just say, when I first read about this, I had a moment of like, wait, is this what I think it is? Because if it is, this is a bigger deal than it might sound.
Tell me what you thought it was.
I thought, okay, so I've been using various AI coding tools, and the thing that I always hit is this limitation where you have to be there. You have to be the one who initiates the session. You have to be sitting at your keyboard. You have to be actively engaged. The AI is reactive. And what I was hoping scheduled tasks meant was the AI can now be proactive. Like, I can tell it, hey, every morning at 9 a.m., do this thing, and it just does it without me being there.
That is exactly what it is.
That is, okay, yeah, that changes things.
So here's how it works. Within Claude Code Desktop, you can now configure recurring tasks that will automatically start sessions at specified times and at whatever frequency you define. And the documentation specifically calls out some example use cases that I think are really illustrative. Code reviews, dependency updates, and daily briefings. And these tasks run locally on your machine.
Okay, the locally on your machine part is actually really important, and I don't want to gloss over it, because what that means is this isn't a cloud service that's phoning home to some server somewhere and doing things on your behalf in the background. This is your machine, your environment, running the task, which has implications for security, for privacy, for the kinds of things you can trust it to do.
Right. And for enterprise environments in particular, that's a significant consideration. If you're a developer at a company with strict data policies, the fact that this runs locally changes the conversation about what's permissible.
Completely. Okay, so walk me through the scheduling mechanics, because I want to understand, what are the actual options? Like, can you do every 5 minutes, every week? What's the granularity?
So from what the documentation describes, the system supports three distinct scheduling modes. You've got time-based scheduling, so you can say, run this at 9 a.m. every weekday. You've got interval-based scheduling, so every 2 hours or every 24 hours, something like that. And then there's a third mode, which is a bit more sophisticated, where you can set up event-driven triggers. So not just a fixed time, but something that happens in response to a condition being met.
Wait, event-driven? That's actually where this gets really interesting, because now you're not just talking about scheduling in the traditional calendar sense. You're talking about automation logic. Like, if this happens, do that. That's a different category of thing.
It is. And I think it's worth framing this in the context of agentic AI development more broadly, because what Anthropic is doing with Claude Code Desktop is systematically reducing the amount of human initiation required for AI-assisted workflows. And scheduled tasks is a really concrete expression of that philosophy.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of cron jobs. For anyone who doesn't know what a cron job is, it's basically the Unix way of scheduling automated tasks on a computer. You set up a cron job, it runs at whatever interval you define, it does whatever you told it to do. You don't have to think about it. Developers have been using cron jobs for decades to automate repetitive system tasks. And what Claude Code's scheduled tasks feature feels like is cron jobs, but with intelligence.
That is a very good analogy. Because cron jobs are powerful, but they're dumb. They just execute the same script the same way every time. Whereas a scheduled Claude Code session can actually reason about what it finds. Like, if you schedule a daily dependency update check, it's not just running a fixed script. It's actually looking at your dependencies, understanding which ones have updates available, understanding which updates might introduce breaking changes, and making intelligent decisions about what to flag or what to automatically update.
And that's where the daily briefings use case they mentioned gets really compelling. Because imagine starting every morning and there's already a summary waiting for you of what happened overnight in your code base. Maybe someone merged a pull request. Maybe a test started failing. Maybe a dependency released a new version. And Claude has already synthesized all of that into something actionable. That is a genuinely different developer experience.
It's moving from AI as a tool you pick up when you need it to AI as a collaborator that's already working while you're sleeping.
And I want to push on the implications of that a little bit, because it's not all straightforward. Like, there's an obvious question of what happens when it does something you didn't want it to do. If Claude runs a scheduled task at 2 a.m. and makes a change to your code base, and you wake up and things are different than you left them, that requires a new kind of trust in the system.
That is a real consideration. And I think it's why the local execution piece matters, because you're not giving the system access to arbitrary cloud resources. You're giving it access to your machine, your local files, your local development environment. And presumably, there are guardrails around what it can and can't do without explicit approval.
Right. And this is actually a pattern we're seeing across the whole agentic AI space. Like, the big question isn't just, can the AI do the task? It's, how do we define the appropriate boundaries for what the AI can do autonomously versus what requires a human sign-off? And different tools are drawing that line in different places.
And the code review use case is actually the safest place to start with this, I think. Because code review is inherently a read operation. The AI is looking at your code, producing an analysis, but it's not necessarily making changes. So you get the value of having it run automatically without the risk of it doing something irreversible.
Whereas dependency updates are a bit more active. Like, if it's actually updating packages in your project, that's a write operation that has consequences. And that's where you'd want to be really thoughtful about the permissions you're granting.
Exactly. Okay, so big picture, what does this mean for the Claude Code product and where it's headed?
I think it means Claude Code is starting to look less like a smart code editor assistant and more like an autonomous engineering teammate. And that's a meaningful shift because the value proposition changes. You're not just paying for better autocomplete or better documentation. You're paying for something that is actively contributing to your engineering workflow even when you're not actively directing it.
And from Anthropic's perspective, that stickiness is really valuable. Because if Claude Code is embedded in your daily automated workflows, if there are scheduled tasks running every morning, if your dependency management is happening through Claude Code, the switching cost becomes really high.
Right. It becomes infrastructure. And infrastructure is hard to rip out. This is smart product strategy.
Very smart. All right, let's zoom out a bit and talk about what's happening in the broader industry, because there's been a lot of movement in the news this week that puts both of these stories in context. So the broader AI landscape this week has continued to be, I think frenetic is not too strong a word. And I want to talk about a few threads that I think are genuinely important for understanding where things are headed.
Yeah, and I think the NEC story is actually a perfect entry point for talking about one of the bigger macro themes, which is the enterprise AI adoption curve. Because for a while, the narrative was, okay, consumers are using AI, developers are using AI, but enterprises are still in evaluation mode. They're running pilots. They're nervous about data governance. They're waiting to see how the regulatory environment settles.
And that narrative has been breaking down steadily over the past year or so.
Steadily, and then suddenly. Because you go from a world where enterprises are cautiously dipping their toes in to a world where NEC is committing to build one of Japan's largest AI-native engineering organizations. That is not cautious. That is a bet.
And it's a bet that's being replicated across industries and geographies. The enterprise AI adoption story is no longer a future story. It's a present tense story.
And I think what's changed is the combination of two things. The models have gotten good enough that the ROI case is clear, and the tooling has matured enough that deployment is actually tractable. Like 18 months ago, if you wanted to deploy an AI system to 30,000 employees, the implementation complexity was genuinely daunting. Now you have companies that have figured out how to do this. There are established patterns. There are vendors who specialize in exactly this kind of rollout.
Right. The operational infrastructure around enterprise AI has caught up with the capability of the models themselves.
And that matters enormously, because a technology can be amazing, but if it's too hard to deploy at scale, it doesn't matter. The history of enterprise technology is littered with things that were technically impressive, but operationally nightmarish.
So the combination of better models and better deployment infrastructure is what's actually unlocking this wave of enterprise adoption that we're seeing.
Exactly. And the Japan angle is worth dwelling on for a second, because Japan has some specific dynamics that make this interesting. Japan has a well-documented demographic challenge. The working age population is declining. Productivity per worker has to go up if the economy is going to maintain its output. AI is one of the few tools that can actually move that needle significantly. So there's a structural economic argument for AI adoption in Japan that is maybe even more compelling than it is in markets with faster population growth.
That's a really important point. The productivity imperative is more acute in Japan than almost anywhere else.
And you have a government that understands this. The Japanese government has been investing significantly in AI policy, in AI research, in creating the conditions for AI adoption. So you've got national policy alignment, you've got a structural economic need, and now you've got a flagship corporate example with NEC. That's a pretty powerful combination.
Let's talk about the competitive dynamics for a second, because Anthropic is not the only company that wants to be the AI partner of choice for Japanese enterprises.
No, absolutely not. There's significant competition in this space from other frontier AI companies, from domestic Japanese AI development efforts, from large cloud providers who are packaging AI services as part of their broader offerings. The competition for enterprise AI contracts in major markets is intense.
So what does Anthropic have going for it in that competitive context?
A few things. One is the quality of the model itself. Claude is genuinely one of the strongest models for complex reasoning and for tasks that require nuance and careful judgment. That matters for enterprise use cases where you need reliability and sophistication, not just speed. Two is the safety and interpretability focus, which is something Anthropic has been very public about and which resonates with enterprise customers who have reputational and regulatory risk to manage. And three is, increasingly, the ecosystem. The Claude code story, the developer tooling, the API ecosystem, the partner network. Anthropic is building the infrastructure of adoption, not just the model.
And the NEC partnership actually reinforces all three of those. NEC chose Anthropic, presumably considered alternatives. And the fact that they chose Claude as the foundation for what they're calling one of Japan's largest AI-native engineering organizations is an endorsement.
It's a very public endorsement. And in Japanese business culture, where relationships and credibility are extremely important, that kind of endorsement from an institution like NEC carries significant weight.
Let's shift gears slightly and talk about the developer productivity angle, because the Claude code story and the broader industry trends around developer tooling connect in interesting ways.
Yeah, so developer productivity is one of those areas where AI has moved from interesting to table stakes remarkably quickly. Like at this point, if you're a professional software developer and you're not using some form of AI assistance in your workflow, you are at a meaningful productivity disadvantage relative to peers who are.
And the question has shifted from, should I use AI in my development workflow, to which AI tools? How deeply integrated? And how do I get the most out of them?
Right. And that's exactly the space that Claude Code is competing in. And the scheduled tasks feature is a really smart move because it's addressing a specific gap that developers feel. The existing tools are great at reactive assistance. You ask, it answers. But the proactive piece has been missing.
And proactive assistance at the workflow level is actually where a lot of the highest value automation lives. Because the tasks that benefit most from automation are often the ones that are regular, repetitive, and time-sensitive. And those are exactly the tasks that scheduled execution enables.
Code review is such a perfect example. In a lot of engineering teams, code review is a bottleneck. There's always a backlog of pull requests waiting for a review. Part of the reason is that review takes focused attention and time. If you can automate the first pass, have Claude flag obvious issues, check for style conformance, identify potential bugs, summarize what changed and why, then the human reviewer can focus on the higher order questions that actually require a judgment. You've compressed the overall review cycle significantly.
And compressed review cycles mean faster shipping, which means more velocity for the engineering organization. The downstream business impact of that is real.
And this is why I think the Claude Code story and the NEC story are actually more connected than they might appear. Because NEC is building an AI-native engineering organization, what does that actually mean in practice? It means their engineers are using tools like Claude Code, probably heavily. It means workflows are being rebuilt around AI assistance. The product developments and the enterprise partnerships are two parts of the same strategy.
That's a good observation. The product has to be good enough to justify the enterprise partnership, and the enterprise partnerships validate the product investment. It's a reinforcing loop.
And it also creates a feedback channel. When you have a partner like NEC deploying this at 30,000 person scale, you're going to learn a lot about how people actually use the product at scale. What features matter, where the pain points are, what needs to be built next. That's incredibly valuable product intelligence.
Real-world, large-scale usage data is one of the most valuable inputs you can have for product development.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about something that I think is maybe underappreciated in the broader discussion about AI adoption at enterprise scale, which is the change management and organizational design challenge.
Oh, this is a big one, because the technology is almost the easy part.
Right? Like, you can get access to the most capable AI in the world. But if your workflows, your processes, your team structures, your incentives, if none of those adapt to take advantage of the technology, you've just spent money on something that sits largely unused.
And the AI native engineering organization framing that NEC is using is really interesting in this context, because it implies they're not trying to bolt AI onto an existing structure. They're trying to rethink the structure.
Which is hard. That is genuinely hard. You're asking people to change how they work, to trust systems they might not fully understand, to potentially redefine what their own roles look like. That creates anxiety. It creates resistance. Even if the people involved are genuinely enthusiastic about AI, the organizational change is complex.
And this is where having a partner like Anthropic presumably helps, because they've been working with enterprises on this challenge. They've presumably developed frameworks, best practices, guidance on how to approach this kind of transformation.
Yeah, and I think this is increasingly part of what enterprise AI partnerships look like. It's not just, here's the API, good luck. It's, here's the technology, here's how to think about deploying it, here's what other organizations have learned, here's how to structure the change management process. The consulting and enablement layer is becoming as important as the technology itself.
Which is actually a very traditional enterprise software dynamic, right? SAP, Oracle, the big enterprise software companies have always bundled significant services and support with the technology, because that's what makes the technology actually work in practice.
And AI is no different. If anything, the organizational change required to adopt AI well is bigger than what was required for previous generations of enterprise software. Because previous software told people what to do, AI changes how people think about what they should be doing in the first place.
That's a really profound distinction.
It's something I've been noodling on. Like, when you implement an ERP system, you're automating processes. When you implement AI at an organizational level, you're augmenting judgment. And augmenting judgment changes who makes decisions, how decisions get made, what expertise is valued. That's much more disruptive in a structural sense.
And for a company like NEC, which presumably has very established engineering cultures, very established ways of doing things, navigating that disruption thoughtfully is going to be a multi-year journey.
Multi-year, for sure. And I think the announcement of the partnership is the beginning, not the end. The interesting stuff is going to happen over the next 2 to 3 years as we see what NEC actually builds, what the outcomes are, what the engineers who are using Claude every day say about how their work has changed.
That's the story I want to be covering in 2 years, the follow-up.
Right. What did 30,000 engineers actually do differently because of this?
All right. Let's talk about the regulatory and geopolitical dimension for a second, because I don't think we can talk about AI expansion in Japan without at least touching on it.
Yeah, and I want to be careful here because this is genuinely complex territory, but the broad strokes are Japan is in an interesting position geopolitically. It's a close ally of the United States. It has significant technology relationships with U.S. companies, and at the same time, it's deeply embedded in the broader Asia-Pacific economic ecosystem. And AI is increasingly entangled with questions of national security, data sovereignty, and technological independence.
So for Japan, partnering with an American AI company for major enterprise deployments, that's a decision that happens in a geopolitical context.
It does. And the fact that this partnership is happening, that NEC is explicitly choosing Claude for this kind of foundational role, I think it reflects a judgment that the benefits outweigh the concerns in this case. And it probably also reflects confidence in Anthropic's approach to safety and reliability, because NEC is a company that works very closely with the Japanese government and public sector. They can't afford to be associated with AI that misbehaves.
Right. NEC's reputation is on the line when they endorse a technology partner. So their choosing Anthropic is a credibility signal in both directions.
And I think it probably also reflects Anthropic's emphasis on safety as a differentiator. In a world where there are legitimate concerns about AI reliability and about the behavior of AI systems in high-stakes environments, the company that has made safety its founding principle is going to appeal to partners who have serious institutional obligations.
Okay, let's talk about what else has been happening in the broader news cycle this week, because beyond these two main stories, there's been a lot of movement.
Yeah, and I want to highlight a few themes that I think are worth calling out, even if we're going to stay at a higher level of generality.
Let's do it.
So first, the enterprise AI contract cycle seems to be accelerating dramatically. Like, we used to track these big enterprise AI deals on kind of a monthly cadence. Now they're happening at a pace where it's hard to keep up, and they're getting bigger. The scale of deployment keeps going up. It's not unusual now to see announcements involving tens of thousands of users.
Which tracks with what we were saying earlier about the adoption curve. The early adopters have validated the value, and now the mainstream enterprise market is moving.
And the other thing I'm tracking is the competition among AI providers to establish these anchor partnerships in key markets, because the first mover advantage in enterprise AI is real. If you're Claude and you've established yourself as the foundational AI for NEC in Japan, you're going to be very well positioned when NEC's clients and partners start making their own AI decisions. Well, we already work with NEC, and NEC uses Claude, so there's a network effect to these enterprise relationships.
Distribution through existing enterprise relationships is extremely powerful.
Extremely. And the AI companies that are smart about building these networks early are going to have a structural advantage over the ones that are trying to sell directly to every enterprise individually.
Let's talk about the developer tools market for a second. Because the Claude Code Scheduled Task story sits in a market that is moving incredibly fast.
Yeah, the developer tool space is wild right now. Like, the pace of feature development across all the major AI coding assistants is remarkable. And the thing I keep coming back to is the differentiation is no longer about basic code completion. That's essentially table stakes at this point. The differentiation is about workflow integration, about agentic capabilities, about how deeply embedded the tool becomes in your actual development process.
And scheduled tasks is a move in exactly that direction. It's deepening the embedding.
Right. It's moving from a tool you use to a system that's running. And that's a fundamentally different value proposition. Tools you use can be switched out. Systems that are running, that are embedded in your workflows, that other things depend on, those are much harder to replace.
We used the infrastructure analogy earlier, and I think it's exactly right. The goal is to become infrastructure for developers, not just a useful tool.
And the three use cases they highlight in the documentation, code review, dependency updates, daily briefings, are all things that developers do regularly, that are somewhat tedious, that have clear enough definitions that you can automate them, but that also benefit from intelligence rather than just scripting. That's the sweet spot for agentic automation.
The sweet spot is tasks that are too complex to script, but too repetitive to require constant human attention.
Exactly. And once you build the habit, once developers start their day by checking what Claude ran overnight, the psychological shift is significant, because now the developer's mental model is, I have an AI teammate who is working while I was asleep. That's different from, I have an AI tool I can use when I need help.
It changes the relationship fundamentally.
It does, and I think the implications for team dynamics are interesting too, because if Claude is doing the first pass code review, what does that mean for junior engineers who are learning partly through the code review process? Does it accelerate their learning because they get faster feedback? Or does it potentially short-circuit some of the mentorship dynamic? I don't think we know the answers yet, but these are questions worth asking.
That's a really interesting tension. The efficiency gains are clear, but the learning by doing dynamic in engineering is something you want to be thoughtful about.
Yeah, and I think good engineering teams are going to figure this out. The answer probably isn't, don't use AI for code review. The answer is probably more like, think carefully about how you structure the human learning loop alongside the AI-assisted efficiency gains. Use AI to handle the routine stuff so humans can focus on the teaching moments that actually require human judgment.
Right. Let the AI clear the noise so the humans can have better signal in their interactions.
That's a great way to put it. And this applies way beyond code review. In almost any domain where AI is being adopted, the design challenge is, how do we capture the efficiency gains without losing the human development and learning that happens through doing the work?
All right, I want to spend a couple more minutes on the global expansion theme before we wrap up, because I think the NEC story is part of a bigger pattern.
Yeah, absolutely. So Anthropic's international expansion has been, I would say, deliberate and strategic in a way that's interesting to watch. They're not just turning on access everywhere simultaneously. They're making specific partnership investments in specific markets, which suggests they have a view about where the highest value opportunities are and how to capture them.
Japan being first in the global partner tier for Asia Pacific is a statement about their prioritization.
It is. And it also probably reflects where they've built relationships, where they've found receptive partners, where the regulatory environment is workable. Because enterprise AI deployment in international markets isn't just about having a good product. It's about understanding the local legal and regulatory landscape, having partners who can navigate that, having the infrastructure to support enterprise customers in those time zones and languages.
The operational complexity of international enterprise expansion is significant.
Significant, and often underestimated. And NEC can be a genuine force multiplier for Anthropic on all of those dimensions in Japan, because NEC already has the legal infrastructure, the compliance frameworks, the local relationships. Anthropic is essentially plugging into that existing apparatus.
Which accelerates the time to meaningful deployment enormously.
Enormously. Instead of spending 2 years building local infrastructure, you're leveraging a partner's existing foundation. That's the value of the right partnership in international expansion.
And the signal this sends to other potential partners in other markets is important too. Because other major technology companies in other countries are watching this. And if the NEC partnership succeeds, if NEC can demonstrate the value of building an AI-native engineering organization with Claude, that is going to be a very compelling conversation starter when Anthropic goes to the next market.
Right. Success begets success. The best marketing for enterprise AI partnerships is other successful enterprise AI partnerships.
And this is why I think the follow-on announcements are going to be interesting to watch. Once you've established the Japan footprint with NEC, what does the Korea story look like? What does the broader Southeast Asia story look like? What does the Europe story look like?
All good questions. And I think the common thread is going to be find the right anchor partner in each major market. Someone with the credibility, the scale, the relationships, and the genuine commitment to actually do the transformation, not just announce it. NEC seems to be that partner for Japan.
All right. Let's start to bring things together and think about the big picture here, because I think when you put the NEC story and the Claude Code story side by side, there's a coherent strategic narrative.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this as we've been talking. The through line is Anthropic is building simultaneously for enterprise and for developer, and those aren't two separate markets. They're the same market viewed from different altitudes.
Say more.
So the enterprises that are deploying Claude, they're doing it primarily through their engineering organizations. NEC's AI-native engineering org is, at its core, a lot of developers using Claude, and developers using Claude Code, using scheduled tasks, building increasingly sophisticated AI-assisted workflows. Those developers are also increasingly the people inside enterprises who are making the case for AI adoption, who are building the internal tools, who are demonstrating the value. So strengthening the developer experience strengthens the enterprise story. They're reinforcing each other.
The product flywheel. Better developer tools drive better developer outcomes, which drives better enterprise outcomes, which drives more enterprise adoption, which creates more feedback for better developer tools.
Exactly. And Anthropic is investing across the whole loop. They're not just building the best model and hoping everyone else figures out the rest. They're building the model. They're building the developer tools. They're building the enterprise partnerships. They're building the enablement infrastructure. It's a vertically integrated strategy in a way that's actually unusual for a company at their stage.
Most companies at this scale would be focusing on one or two of those layers.
Right. You'd expect them to focus on the model and let the ecosystem build around it. And they are doing that to some extent. There are plenty of third-party tools and integrations built on Claude, but they're also not leaving the developer tooling and enterprise partnership layers entirely to others. They're competing in those layers too.
Because those layers are too strategically important to outsource entirely.
Exactly. If you seed the developer tools layer, you risk becoming a commodity model provider. If you seed the enterprise partnership layer, you lose the high-value relationships and the distribution networks. Anthropic is making a bet that owning significant positions in all of these layers is how you build durable competitive advantage in this market.
It's an ambitious strategy, but then this is an ambitious company.
They kind of have to be. The stakes in this industry are enormous, and the competition is intense. Timid strategy doesn't win in this environment.
All right. I think that's a good place to start thinking about wrapping up. Any final thoughts before we go to the close?
Yeah, just one thing I want to leave listeners with. I think sometimes in the pace of covering AI news, we can get a bit numb to the scale of what's actually happening. Like Anthropic and NEC announced partnership. You can read that and just kind of nod and move on. But 30,000 engineers using AI as a native part of their work. Scheduled AI tasks running automatically overnight across thousands of developers' machines. This is infrastructure being built in real time for a fundamental shift in how professional work gets done. And we're watching it happen in more or less real time. That's pretty remarkable when you stop and think about it.
Well said. It's easy to get habituated to the news cycle and lose sight of the bigger arc.
Which is why we're here every morning, to actually think about it, not just report it.
Exactly why we're here. All right, that is going to do it for today's episode of Claude Daily. We covered the Anthropic and NEC Corporation global partnership and what it means for enterprise AI adoption in Japan and across the Asia-Pacific region. We went deep on Claude Code Desktop's new scheduled tasks feature and what it signals about the future of agentic developer tooling. And we spent some time on the broader industry themes that tie all of this together.
Big day, big stories. Genuinely, one of those episodes where I feel like I learned things by talking through it, which is the best kind.
That's what we're going for. All right, it is Friday. Go have a great weekend, everyone. We will be back on Monday with whatever the weekend news cycle throws at us. And I have a feeling it's going to be something.
It always is. Have a good one, everyone.
Take care. This has been Claude Daily. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. See you Monday.